Well, welcome to Tape 4 in our ongoing series about the relationship that God wants to have with you. Actually, the presentations and the fellowship that I was a part of for these 3 weeks were contained in 3 Sunday morning sharings with the congregation. But in conjunction with that, we also spent some time on Wednesday evenings with a smaller group of people who wanted to interact about what they had heard on Sunday and ask some questions. And more important than asking questions from some kind of intellectual curiosity was to help them sort out their own personal journey. I find that growing in our relationship with God necessitates some of that kind of dialogue. I don't think it's anything that can be contained in a lecture or a tape series or even a book that someone's written that is the real key to the relationship. The key to the relationship that God wants with you is found in the one whom Jesus consigned to live in the life of his believers and to teach them how to know his will and to walk in his ways and experience the fullness of relationship that is in God's heart. Of course, that's his Holy Spirit. If a tape could have done it, if a lecture could have done it, if a manual of some kind could have done it, I think he would have left us one. He did leave us with the Bible, of course, written by a number of people that God touched and inspired. It does give us an objective sense of truth about God and his life and reveals everything about God we would ever need to know. But to allow that word to live in us and to allow it to develop in our hearts a living relationship with God, well, that's going to take something the Holy Spirit needs to do through the work of the Father and the Son in our hearts and lives. And that's my prayer for you. I'm not going to try in this moment to encapsulate all of the discussion that we had or all the insights that others contributed in our 2-hour sessions together. That would be a bit impossible. I did take some notes, however, of some of the questions that I hear often and think that there might be a wider curiosity. But my hope is in these brief segments, and I'm going to do about 20 minutes for each of the tapes that you're listening to, is to maybe give you some insight, some way to think, some other way to help God's Spirit illuminating you exactly what your next step is in the journey and how it is that God's inviting you closer to himself and how it is that he wants to make himself known to you. In our first message on this series, we talked about this incredible invitation to the life of God was not an invitation to embrace a new religion, but an invitation into a meaningful friendship with a living God, that he wanted to connect with us in a way that would forever change our lives and who we are and introduce us to the fullest measure of who he is. We ended that first session with a brief reading from Hebrews chapter 6, which I think is a really critical verse for those of us that want to grow in this relationship with him. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So the very beginning of this process has to be a conviction in our heart that God, in fact, exists. And now, if we diligently seek him, if we diligently put our lives before him, pursue him, then it says there's a confidence that he rewards that pursuit. So we know from this passage there is, A, something we do to pursue him, and B, if in fact it's him that we're pursuing, then it's him that we'll experience and receive and get to know, and it's he who will develop with us ever-deepening ways of relating to him. We talked that this is not then a religion, not just a routine or a tradition or a discipline. And many of us have been taught to grow in Christ by being in the Word, being in prayer, going to church, giving money, and maybe even some of the other disciplines that have been talked about in more recent years of solitude and worship and servanthood and some of those things. And I don't despise any of those things. In fact, many of those disciplines are a regular part of my life, and many believers who I know are learning to engage and walk in the life of Jesus. What's important, I think, for us to understand is how those disciplines, traditions, routines fit into our lives. It's easy for all of us, and me included, to substitute at times our obedience to Christ and our pursuit of him and the reality of relationship for checking off the things on our list. Yep, got my Bible reading in today. Yep, shot through my prayer list today. Yep, went to church this week. Yep, 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 and check them all off. And yet inside say, this isn't what I thought relationship was supposed to be. In fact, it still feels a bit distant for me, and I'm hungering for something so much closer. Well, God invites us to experience it at a much closer level. And so part of the questions that come up with people then is, are those routines important, or are any of them good, or should we just throw them all out and sit and stare at the walls for a while? And the answer here is not as easy as a yes and no, or a black and white, it's this or that, because it really drives to the motive of our heart. If I am reading the Bible every day, if I am praying every day to check off my brownie points with God, then it's not going to benefit me spiritually. It's going to benefit me religiously. It's going to make me feel like I'm a good Christian because I'm doing my part. But if I'm doing it to earn an acceptance with Him I already have, then obviously the work's going to be fruitful. Hopefully, however, if I'm engaging the Word every day in prayer and hanging out around God's people, maybe in the midst of that I'm going to hear something that triggers a more meaningful relationship, and that can be a good thing. But those things by themselves, and if they're used as the means to gain, are not going to be sufficient to get us there. And people who've done those disciplines for years will tell me, I've done all that, and yet inside I feel empty. When we talk about friendship with the living God, we mean a voice that's in our life, a power and a presence that with us where we can sense what He's up to and know what He's doing and follow, and in times of agony and pain, pour out my heart to Him and sense that He's there, sense that I know what He's doing, sense that He is a real engaged friend in my life. And routines alone won't accomplish it. Traditions alone won't accomplish it. I've got a friend that defines tradition as trying to get God to do something He did once in exactly the same way again and again and again. And if you've ever been involved with much tradition, you know that it's impossible for us to get God to do something that He's done before the same way again and again and again. So part of what needs to happen as a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we begin to think less about God in religious terms. It's not about doing certain disciplines and going certain places and making certain behavioral conformities. That doesn't produce the relationship. In fact, what we're going to find as we work through the series is that instead our relationship with God will produce patterns, will produce behaviors, will produce the kind of transformation that's life-changing. So we may end up doing lots of things, but not to earn the relationship, simply as expressions of the relationship we have with Him. So it begins, first of all, by us admitting that what we need in an ever-growing capacity is this expanding relationship with the living God. We need to have a revelation of Him. So if I'm in prayer, it's not that I've covered my prayer list. Is it somehow in that prayer God's made Himself known to me? It's not just hurling all my agenda at God. It's then sitting and waiting for God to share His agenda with me. And that's not just something you can contain in a 20-minute, 40-minute, even a 2-hour devotional every day. It's an ongoing conversation that God yearns to have with us through the whole of our day. And there are some things I ask of God and hold before Him months, sometimes even years, before a clarity or answer emerges. But during that time, I'm looking for Him. I'm seeking Him. And where I don't get to know, then I'm asking God, well, what direction do You have for me in the midst of my not knowing? And how is it that I wait on You with a sense of trust in life that makes some sense in my world and causes my heart and life to be transformed? So how is it that we seek Him? And I don't think we can go any further than it speaks to the true intent of our heart. If my heart just wants fire insurance and an escape from hell, then there's not much that's going to develop in my relationship with the living God. If my heart wants to know Him, if my heart wants to follow His ways and experience His wisdom and know His power, then that's the cry of a heart to go on 24/7, as they say, every minute of every day. And that's not something I consciously do all the time. I mean, I'm engaged with other things in my life, as you are. And there are times when I go significant chunks of time without consciously thinking of Him. But the point is, I'm never far from that. And I develop a God consciousness and a focus on Him that in situations, even in moments of just taking a breath and in the car or walking between offices, I just say, God, man, I love You. Just unfold Your will in me today. Show me how that happens. And it's developing that kind of heart search that I think strikes to the very core of what the writer of Hebrews 11 is saying. It is to believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him, who engage Him relationally. and who think about him in those terms. And it's obviously what you on tape miss is the interaction that we had with that group on Wednesday nights, or relational touches that I've had with people, either just being in their home or relational workshops that I conduct with smaller groups of people, where we take 10 or 12 folks who have a hunger to know God, not a hunger for religion, not I'm trying to be a better person, but people who have a genuine hunger for God, and get together and we talk about the journey. What are you learning? What are you discovering? How are you sensing him? I don't know if there's any substitute for that in my life or yours. And I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this tape, to ask God to provide you some people. They might be drawn from a circle of friends you already have. It might be that God will bring some other people into your life. It's not that we can't discover it alone. It's that our search for God alone is too minimal. We get to see pieces of him, but brothers and sisters around us get to see other pieces of him. It's important in that to have that kind of dialogue with other believers. I think that's what Hebrews gets to when it talks about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. We've taken that to mean we've got to ring 10 o'clock, file into a big building, sit down, have a mini concert, mini lecture, and then I go home and I've assembled with believers. And we all know that we can come to that event and be a spectator and maybe even get something good and go home, but never have actually let my heart assemble with other believers. That's why I'm a real champion of alternative relational kinds of church, which isn't about what we do or what meeting we attend or what building we're in. It has to do with engaging hungry believers in my ongoing conversation of my journey to know the living God and me being involved in their conversation with the living God, so that we find that can be, as Jesus said, that may be two or three at times. That may be 10 or 12. It gets much further above that, and we do less conversation than we do performance and listening. And so it could just be a good friend of yours, and the two of you get together periodically, or three or four of you, and share, what's your journey? What are you learning? What are you discovering? And there's no keys here where we're all trying to imitate somebody else. The important thing is that we're looking to God. And then as we're listening to other people talk, we're thinking through in our own lives, well, man, what can that mean for me? And how else can I get involved with that? And you'll find yourself in relational settings beginning to think more relationally about God. Because that's the big transition, isn't it, that God calls us to make. Somehow we need to think through who he is and how he's invited to walk with him. And then we can experience the sharing of that relationship with other people. Like the disciplines, often our sharings with other people and often our prayers and often our Bible readings aren't an expression of our relationship with him. It's a substitute for it. I really don't feel like I have it, or if I did, I've lost sight of it. And so now I've got to try and do something that makes me more connected with him and who he is. And I'm actually not experiencing those things as tools to know him better, but I'm allowing those things to be substitutes for the relationship I don't have. And I think we feel that, all of us, when we get to those moments when, yep, got my prayer time in today, I mentally check it off my list, and got my chapter in the Bible read, and so I can mentally check that off my list. But in the midst of that, I'm not hearing or sensing God's involvement in the daily realities of my life. This is something that we need to learn together and learn to rethink all the things that we have in mind about religion. Religion assumes a certain end, and it says our life's got to look this way, and even puts us in this, we're either in or out. We're either doing it or we're not doing it. And relationship has more in mind a journey. I've now for, wow, almost 24 years, been on a journey to love my wife and to learn how to live together as God's people. And that's a journey. We don't do it well all the times. There are days we do it better than others. There's periods of time where we do it better. And there's periods of times where I take Sarah for granted. And she's there and she's doing all the stuff that she does in my life to make it full and complete. And yet I'm more aware of me and my stuff. And during those times, our relationship may not be growing. In fact, it may go very stale. And then we'll wake up and go, whoa, wait a minute. Then what do I need to do at moments like that? Sure, there's lots of, I can buy her flowers, lots of things I can do. But the important point here is not those things alone, though I don't mean to demean the value of any of them in helping build a relationship, but to really come back to the promises I've made to Sarah on the day that I married her, and I promised to cherish her. And that's an amazing thing. In fact, I promised to cherish her all the days of my life. So it wasn't just I cherished her getting married that day, but it makes me ask the question today, how am I cherishing Sarah in my life today? And I think it's a great analogy for the same. How do I cherish God in my life today? How do I cherish His Son? How do I call them to the front of my mind and engage them in a relationship that's meaningful? And I, again, we come back to this thing that there's just no way to escape it. The Holy Spirit's got to do that. The Holy Spirit's got to invite us in and help us to know who He is and how He is, and give us glimpses into who God is. And I find that, yes, there's a regular time most days I find to have a concentrated conversation with Jesus. I try to extend that through the whole of the day. But I'm also looking for those, what do we call them, serendipitous moments when God exposes Himself in something. Somebody will say something to me. I'll read something in a book. I'll be out in the middle of working in the yard and a thought comes or some insight shows up. And just in the moment of it, you know, wow, God's revealing Himself. Something's just a couple of coincidences, that seeming coincidences that turn at the same moment, and you stop and go, wow, that's a God thing. That's God. It's God revealing. Sometimes it happens over the course of a week. I'll hear somebody share something with me. I'll take note of it. Yeah, it sounds pretty neat. Two or three days, somebody in almost the same words saying the same thing. I'll give an example of that. Sarah and I have felt like that God has called us to leave Visalia, where we've lived for the last 19 years and have lots of friendships and been through a number of experiences, some good, some bad. And God really, about a year ago, began to put on our hearts, it's time to go. I have another place for you. And we have no idea what that means. We put our home on the market a week ago to make the plans now to move from where we are to where God would have us to go. And one of the things we felt like God spoke to us is, said, I want you to travel light. That was 6 months ago. And we've been going through our home and doing things to get rid of stuff so that, in fact, we can travel light. But you know, in the meantime, we've had two or three different people since that time say to us something about God speaking to them about traveling light. Now, every time I hear that, I know that's a God. Wow, isn't that something? That God's speaking the same thing similarly to different people that He spoke to us. And that gives us greater confidence to pursue that kind of thing. That's something we need to learn. God has that kind of journey for each of us. And it's a process. It's not that we conform our life to a certain behavioral standard. It is that we grow to know Him and watch Him change us. One of the things that I've noticed in churches I attend all the time, when I speak or share the life of God, is that people ask me, healthy environment here, not so healthy environment here. And that's a strange question to ask. I appreciate the vulnerability that it offers when a pastor or a leader will ask me that kind of question. And I generally don't try and answer it. I don't think by guest speaking in an environment for a day or two, I have any insight into that question at all. But what I do say to them is, I think you can know real quickly how healthy, how relational the environment is. Ask yourself whether these are people who live out confession with each other, or whether they're people that gossip a lot about each other. And I think that those two things usually exist in contradistinction to the other. In other words, if there's a lot of confession among a group, if people owning their own mistakes and their own struggles, you don't have a lot of gossip, because what's the gossip good for? Gossip's only good for pointing out other people's weaknesses when I'm trying to feel better about my own, which means I'm trying to hide mine and enlighten others. And so one of the ways to tell very quickly how healthy my relationship to other believers is, are we talking other people's weaknesses and other people's struggles and only my joys and my successes, or the healthy relationships are, man, this is where I'm still messing up. This is where I'm still struggling to know what this faith thing is all about, and here's where my journey's at, and I know I'm not getting it right. And people who, as we'll talk about in the third tape, who understand grace, who understand the transforming power of God, who knows, I mean, I do, I know what God has to overlook about my life every day to still engage me relationally. He has to overlook stuff because I'm not whole yet. I've not got it all put together. I've got motives and thoughts flying around in here. As Paul says, the natural man struggling against the spiritual man or woman in some of your cases. That's going on in all of us. And until we understand that enough and find the freedom to walk that out in some way that makes sense, we'll not have the kinds of relationships that are healthy with each other. The community of the King, the community of Christ, is a confessing community. It's, you know what, still struggling. Because we're people on a journey. We're people who aren't there yet, whom God has redeemed, whom God's transformed and is transforming, but we're not there yet. And because God overlooks stuff in my life every day to help me grow in grace, I'm going to overlook stuff in your life. And we're going to help each other discover who the life of the living God is. So it's my desire, my prayer for those of you that are listening to this tape and have a hunger and for God to develop these things in your life, that this would be something you would really turn over to Him. And you wouldn't keep the reins of controlling this relationship in your hands, but you turn them over to Him and say, Father, I have no idea how to build this relationship with You. I have no idea how to make it happen on my own. Would You begin to show me every day? Just show me another glimpse of who You are, another insight into how I live that out in the real choices of my life. And what you find out is He's more than able to do that. He's more than able to transform you and invite you to Himself and change you. And so I want to encourage you to engage that process as well.
Track 2 on this CD will continue with a discussion from the second CD. If you have not listened to it already, please do so now before continuing with the next track.